Today's Kool-Aid Football Podcast is sponsored by 2.go.
Today on Barca Talk, we celebrate our 100th episode. Also, the Barca women continue their winning streak, and Ousmane Dembélé starts looking like a proper first-team starter in the Champions League and La Liga wins for the first team of FC Barcelona. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Barca Talk. I'm Brian Henderson, coming to you from Buffalo, New York, and joining me for episode 100 in Madrid, Spain, is Gabriel Quiroga.
Brian, my Barca brother from another mother. What is going on? 100 episodes.
Yes, we did it. It wasn't necessarily a goal that we had, but I always just imagined that we would do this indefinitely until we die. So I never had... Oh, look, who's that? Who's that on the phone? It's someone for later. I'm going to send it to voicemail. I'm going to send that to voicemail, and I'm going to share that with that voicemail with you later. Okay. But it is a very special guest. We have special guests featured on the show today. One of them is calling at this moment, but I'm just going to let it go to voicemail. So, nice. Yeah, man, we did it, 100 episodes. So I was thinking, you know, getting ready for this, I wanted to mark this occasion with some revisiting some old things. So I went and I found your original, because for anyone who doesn't know, we each started our own FC Barcelona podcast independent of one another. So we were doing these podcasts solo because apparently neither of us did any research to find out if anyone else was doing one. So we just decided, I'm going to make a podcast about FC Barcelona. And it was only over time that we found each other, and specifically you found me, Gabriel. But so I went back to your original podcast, which was called the Kool-Aid Football Podcast. And the earliest one I could find was on SoundCloud, and it was episode 30, according to you.
What? Yeah, I mean, and it was brutal. Put it lightly. I mean, you know, for anyone that doesn't know, I was just doing this kind of as a social media experiment just to test it out. And I found you, and obviously I've thoroughly enjoyed our collaboration going forward. But man, every time when you were playing the episodes before, when we've been playing around with them, I just cringe. It's so cringy.
Well, get ready. Get ready, because this is just, it's just a few seconds. I just took a tiny clip from episode 30.
Welcome, fellow Kool-Aids, to episode 30 of the Kool-Aid Football Podcast, the only weekly English podcast about Football Club Barcelona. I am your host, Gabriel Quiroga, recording here from Madrid.
I especially like about that is there's so many things to enjoy about that. One, it was like, have I been saying your name wrong this whole time, or...
No.
Were you saying your name wrong?
No, this is always a debate because... my name is a Spanish name, right? It's Gabriel Quiroga, right? That's it, right?
Sure.
But for my American friends, it's very difficult for them to understand that it could be a Spanish name. So they sometimes will say Gabriel or Gabriel. And now, a lot of times they call me Gabe. So
sure.
So that's where it comes. I even had a debate with this with some of my friends last night, because I was with some American friends and Spanish friends. They're like, what do we call you? And I said, just Gabriel.
What do you think?
Not that difficult, you know?
Now, you also said that it was the only English language podcast about FC Barcelona at the time.
At the time it was.
Was it?
At the time it was.
Okay.
Yeah, when I first started it, it was the only one. And obviously, like, maybe episode 30, it wasn't. But I just, I was just making a bold statement.
You just kept saying it.
Correct. And, if you say it enough times, it becomes true.
Right. Well, I because according to SoundCloud, that was, it says 1 year ago. But you must have released it longer ago than that.
Yeah. Because I did it, like, 3 years ago, basically.
Yeah.
Before.
Well, I do know that this next melodious voice that you're about to hear, this was episode one of my podcast, which I released in January, February of 2016, I think.
Yeah.
That makes, no, 2017. Yeah, 2017. So here I was.
Welcome to the show, everybody. You are listening to Barca USA for the week of February 20th, 2017. I am your host, Brian Henderson, and this is our first episode of the show, a show devoted to following Barca, the Blaugrana, Més que un Club, Football Club Barcelona.
All right, and this is me now talking in episode 100, in case you couldn't tell. The difference.
I mean, you know, like we always talked about when we first met, right? Like, if you listen to my episode, it sounds like I'm in a garage somewhere in a tin can.
Yeah.
You know? And even from yours, you know, that's why we mix well together, because you handle all the awesome sound production, editing, and all the stuff that goes behind that. And I do the marketing stuff that you hate. So,
right.
You know, that's why we work so well together. But also, you can tell, like, I was recording on my Apple iPhone headset, you know, like it wasn't anything to it, and it was like really hokey Audacity editing, right? Because that's all it was that I knew. So I could always tell that your podcast had awesome quality, and obviously you bring that to our podcast as well.
Yeah, but you'll notice that I'm talking because I was using a different microphone back then, and it was actually a very sensitive microphone, and I won't get into the audio nerd stuff about it, but it was powered and it was very sensitive. So I would get close to the microphone to get that close kind of sound, but then it meant that I had to talk really softly and really gently. Hey, everybody, this is the Barca Talk podcast. And I had to be really, really, really careful with my P's, because my P's would just pop so much on that microphone. So that's why I sounded so well. Plus, this was my first time podcasting, right? I had no experience with it before. And I've just always dreamed of being on NPR. So I was doing my best, like, if NPR made a sports podcast, what would it sound like? And I think that's sort of what I was after.
You took the words right out of my mouth. That's what I was going to say. It sounded like it was NPR, you know, sports broadcast trying to be like that. So
yeah,
but I appreciate
just,
it.
I just always dream. I still dream of throwing something back to Ira Glass, you know, back to you in the studio, Ira. Or at this point, though, I'd settle for just talking with Jonathan Goldstein or something. But
yes, me too.
Yeah, because we all love heavyweight. But now this is my third and final clip that I want to play for you, because here's the first episode of Barca Talk where, oh yeah, but actually before I go into that, you'll notice that I originally in episode one, February 20th, January 2017, I had a different name for my podcast because I was really trying to think of it as like an American podcast. This is about being in America, being in the USA, and it was called Barca USA. For those first week. And I think by episode two, I had changed it to Barca Talk. It was like, I listened to that first episode and I had thought about it for weeks and weeks and weeks. I'd thought about this, but I really decided I want to call it Barca USA. And then after week one, I realized I've made a horrible mistake and I'm going to call it Barca Talk now. So that was the other early change that I made. But once we got together, we first started in earnest at the beginning, or just before the beginning of the 2017-28 season, and this was the first time that we were ever together on Barca Talk. Gabriel, how's it going?
It's going really well, Brian. How are you doing over there?
I'm doing well. So you are in Madrid, right?
Yeah, so I live here in Madrid, Spain. I've been here for the past 5 years. And yeah, so I did a quick search of you and got in contact with you, and I thought it would be a good idea if we teamed up, and here we are doing this podcast.
Yeah, this is really exciting. I'm really glad that you found me, and because it's so much more interesting when the two of us are talking.
I totally agree. Like, I was doing mine on my own, and
so was I.
I thought I was getting tired of listening to my own voice, and I was trying to get some friends here that were local to try to talk about Barcelona, but unfortunately most of my friends here in Madrid are real Madrid fans, so they did not want to participate.
So that's, man, just listening back to that reminds me of God. Just how cumbersome it was for us at first.
It was like I fist bump and you handshook me, you know. It was like, what are we doing here? Like,
right, not only were we just getting to know each other, right, we had essentially just met, not only that, but the technological aspect of it. You were actually recording your own end of the conversation there, and I was recording my end of the conversation here. And then when we were done, you would send me the file, and I would edit them together to try and make it sound like we were actually – well, I mean, we were actually talking to each other, but to just to recreate that. And then over time, I eventually figured out how to just record everything straight into my own rig and keep in live time. We found a better video chat solution, so it had slightly less lag. I still edit out a little bit of lag at times, but yeah. And of course, now we've done 70 or 60 some shows together now. And it's you know, I think we're starting to get the hang of it.
I think so too. But also it's so cringy, man, because it's so funny how, you know, like you said, we didn't know each other. And so we were trying to kind of not step on each other's toes and didn't know what to say and kind of how to interact. But I definitely think we figured that out. And, you know, now when I listen to us, like, I definitely have less cringy, and I really do find our content entertaining. So I do like listening to our podcast for sure.
Well, in that first episode, and I don't know if it continued much beyond that, but in that first episode, what you just heard, it was like I was interviewing you.
Yeah,
like you were a guest on my show and I was interviewing you rather than we're doing this show together.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. I mean, like, we just didn't know each other and we didn't know how, you know, we were going to work well together, if we were going to work well together, right? I mean, that was the kind of the test of it. And, you know, I think we've kind of found our footing, and yeah, I think we've figured it out about our partnership, you know, our pull and pull that we like to do. And obviously we love to talk Barca and have fun for sure.
Yeah. Now, looking back, because we've come a long way since then, looking back, what are some of your favorite moments from the past 60, or maybe not some, what's like, if you could think of one immediately off the top of your head, what's like your favorite moment from the past 60 plus episodes we've done together now?
Oh, without a doubt, the Classico episode.
Oh, which one though? Wait, the one where I was in Montreal and you were so out of it that you forgot we were going to record an episode? That one?
That's the one. That's the one. That's the one.
It is memorable.
I mean, it's just memorable because it's just so funny, the situation and all that stuff. That's all. I mean, obviously it's not, you know, we put out better content than that for sure. But that for me is just the whole circumstance of that day, the game and everything of, you know, we were able to get a great victory and just all the things that came with it. So for me, that's definitely one of the standouts for me. And also, you were really upset with me that night
too. Of course I was. And I was really hoarse because I was with Apeña in Montreal watching the Clásico. So of course I was screaming, and I learned my lesson to not do that anymore because my voice was really, really hoarse. And it got to the point where I've had a few drinks because I was out watching the game, and now the day is getting on, and I know it's getting late in Spain, and like hearing nothing from you, and I'm like, I'm gonna have to record this Classico episode by myself, and we all know how well that goes.
Yeah, I just remember the WhatsApps, right? Are you alive?
Yeah.
Are you okay? Are you alive? Are you okay?
Well, because here's the thing, I don't ever want to be mad without good reason, and like you had hurt yourself or something truly horrible had happened to you, I would feel bad about being mad to you. So I was trying to cover my bases and show concern but also be angry.
Yes, I did not hurt myself, so.
No.
So yeah, so that definitely stands out. But you know, like I said, I mean, there's so many fun moments that we have during the week, you know, when we talk and what's up and stuff. So, you know, I really enjoy that we have something to look forward to on Sundays to record and to talk football, because I love it. And yeah, and especially when I get to make you laugh. Like, for me, that's always the best part for me. So,
and
sure.
I love it too. See, what's also funny though is that, because a lot of times when you're not talking, you have your mute button on. And there are times where I make you laugh, but it doesn't come through because your mute button's on. Like, there are times where you're cracking up. I promise this is true, everyone. Well, you don't hear it because Gabriel's mute button is on. So we do make each other laugh as much as the other one. I'm trying to think too, like, what, aside from that Classico episode, what was... Because the other Classico episode where I was in San Francisco and I went to the game at whatever it was, like 4 a.m. California time, I think that doing that episode was especially memorable for me because I was so out of it afterwards. Like I came back to, I think Megan and I were staying with her parents, and I think I went back to sleep, and then later on we recorded, and I can't even remember how I recorded, because I guess it isn't memorable in that I can't remember how that episode happened. Like, how did we do that?
I mean, I just remember you just brought your laptop and we just recorded. But again, it's, you know,
but where was I
think I don't know. But basically it comes down to Clásicos, man. It's just, they're just memorable games and memorable recordings. Because I remember another Clásico we did was the, you know, when Messi won in the 90th minute one in Madrid, basically. I had one of the craziest party nights the night before because it was my Christmas party at my school. And we had to record like when I got back from my Christmas vacation and stuff. So, you know, I think it always is marked with the Clásicos. You know, I think those are just always the most memorable because, you know, lately you've been going to different spots and also the games have been really good. And obviously we've had some more victories in those as well. So I would definitely say the Clásicos are the highlights for me recently.
Yeah. But, you know, also now that I think about it, I'm thinking after that Roma loss last year, because I like neither of us could really like bring the other one up.
Yeah.
It was just sadness all around.
It was. That was definitely like a stomach punch loss, right? We were both just depressed from that so much.
Yeah. Oh, such. And at least we had a couple of days to pass between the game itself and recording it. But yeah, right. Even then, we were still just so despondent about it.
Correct. I can't imagine if we did our bonus episode at that time, how raw the emotions would have been that day.
I know. Like, what's the opposite of a bonus? It would have been that. It would not have given anything extra. It would have only taken away.
Yeah.
It would have robbed hearing it of anything good.
Yeah, but I mean, first of all, I can't believe 100 episodes. That's awesome. That's obviously a great milestone for us. But also just, you know, it's just flying by, you know, now that we've kind of found our groove, you know, how we meet up regularly, we have it all scheduled out and everything. And to me, that's always just, it's like when you brought it up this week that it was our 100th episode, I just couldn't believe it because it just seems like we just are getting started.
Yeah. We are just getting started, and we do have a lot of aspirations and plans for, you know, not only continuing to do it, but continuing to improve it. And, you know, there are so many times where I think about something that I would like to do for this show, and I just think, man, that would be so great, but it's impossible. I can't leave Buffalo. We don't have the resources. We can't do this. All we can do is work within the sort of limitations that we have. And that being the case, we have managed to do, I think, a lot of really good stuff. Most recently, I was really happy to be able to interview Jonathan Wilson about his new book about Barcelona and just to be able to talk to him and have him on the show. I thought that was really great. But before that, you know, when we were doing a little bit more to have Peña people on the show, that was great. When we had the first time we had any Peña folks on the show was Matt Manson and Joe from San Francisco Peña. And then later on, we have Michael Miller, who's been a persistent friend of the show. And he was the one who invited me to Montreal for that Clásico. And I actually got a message from Michael Miller today.
Hey, buddy! Just got me driving home from the game, man. Congratulations to you and Gabriel. Much deserved milestone and hopefully several hundred more. So keep up the good work. Very happy for you guys. And as always, I continue supporting and listening to your show. So take care and have fun recording this one.
So that was Michael Miller. So thank you for that. And we've had other guests. We've had Victor Valanchek of the Houston Kool-Aids on, of course. I think having him on has always been good. And he's become a real friend to the show so much that he's going to get a free Barca Talk mug as a gift from us. But then again, he's going to send us a new scarf, a new Houston Kool-Aid scarf in return. So we've got some in-kind stuff going on there. But yeah, just like we've had so many great people on the show, including Michelle Taylor, because at first she was a guest and now she's a regularly contributing part of the Barca Talk team. We'll hear from her later in this episode.
Yeah, and I also forget, Brian, that you know, one of my favorite moments too was your great idea to do the Camp Nou episode, because for me, that was one of the great episodes that you put together with all the editing and your idea for that. So that to me also, obviously the Clásicos, but that was a really great episode. I thought the style and the way you put it together as kind of a storytelling podcast episode, I thought that was great. And obviously we're talking about doing more of those. But again, that was just really well done and put together. So kudos to you for that as well.
Oh, thank you. Well, like I said, it is ultimately my dream. I'm just an NPR poser ultimately, like at the end of the day. But let's go ahead and take a little break. We'll come back from the break, and then we'll actually start talking about some football. All right, we're back. And now, with an update on the women's team this week, we have our Barca women's correspondent, Michelle Taylor.
What's the difference between being 7 points or 1 point from the top of the table? If we're talking about Barca Femení, it's about just one game. After returning from an international break, the first game for the team was against Atleti Madrid. Because of the two draws against Levante and Valencia, Barca was sitting 4 points behind Atleti, who had won all 8 games in the season thus far. Over 4,000 fans braved the rain and the cold to attend the game at the Mini Estadi, one of the best Barca attendances on record for a normal Liga match. The first half was all Atleti. They pressed, harried, and disrupted our game, and there were a few nervous moments as they came close to scoring but somehow didn't. The first half ended at 0-0. The second half started in much the same fashion, Atleti on the attack and Barca in defence. In the 57th minute, Atleti won a corner. The corner kick went into the box and was gathered by Mexican international Kenty Robles. She sent it back out to Amanda San Pedro on the wings, and Amanda returned a high ball into the box for Kenty to run onto, unmarked, and score a header past Sandra Paños. Cue the mad Atleti celebrations, and Barca fans could only shake their heads and wonder why it is that Kenty, an ex-Barca player, is always the one to score against us now that she plays for Atleti. Immediately after the Atleti goal, Fran Sanchez made 2 subs, Alexia and Aitana replacing Andresa and Vicky on the pitch. The play started to go our way a little more, but Atleti also started to slow the game down. Then came what was to be the turning point. Atleti forward Ludmila da Silva sat down on the pitch, seemingly injured. Goalkeeper Lola Gallardo had the ball in hand, but instead of kicking it out of play, she kicked it over to left-back Carmen Minayo, who obviously wasn't expecting it as she was half turned away. In pounced Aitana Bonmatí. She intercepted the ball, worked her way down the right, looked up to see that Lola was hopelessly out of position, and delivered a perfect lob into the goal. Cue the mad Barca celebrations, mixed with some amusement as the players told Aitana what had happened. Lola hadn't received the memo about kicking the ball out of play, as the rest of the team had been expecting her to do because of Ludmila. When interviewed later, Aitana was quick to point out that Ludmila's injury couldn't have been that bad, because when she looked down the pitch after scoring, the Brazilian was no longer sitting on the ground. With the scores tied, Barca began to take control of the game. The circumstances around Aitana's goal had clearly rattled Atleti. Sanchez made another sub 2 minutes after the goal, bringing on Tony Dugan for Natasha Andonova. The last 25 minutes were perhaps some of the best that we've seen Barca Femení play this season, as the players pinged the ball around and came close to scoring on several occasions. As normal time ticked away, it was looking as if the game would end in yet another draw between the two teams, and we'd remain 4 points adrift on the table. But wait, there's more! In the 91st minute, Alexia got the ball just outside the box on the right-hand side. She attracted about 5 Atleti defenders who surrounded her, leaving Hara Hamraoui to run into the box unmarked. Alexia somehow got the ball to her. Atleti hands went up to indicate that Hamraoui was offside, but the line ref didn't agree. Hamraoui crossed into the middle, and Tony Dugan scored the winner. 2-1! We won! It was the first time that Barca had beaten Atleti in the Liga for 4 years and 3 days, since the 16th of November 2014. In that time, the team had drawn 5 times, and Atleti had won twice. The victory was even sweeter as Atleti's unbeaten streak came to an end, and Barca remains the only unbeaten team in the Liga Iberdrola. Amid all the elation were big sighs of relief. A draw would have meant that Barca was still 4 points behind. A loss would have seen us drop to 7 points, and with the way in which Atleti is playing, I doubt that we could have closed it. But a win meant that we are now only 1 point behind Atleti and still in contention for the Liga. It's significant to mention that the three subs that were made, Aitana, Alexia and Tony, were all involved in the two goals. An instance where Sanchez made the right subs at the right time, but questions were still raised as to why the three players had started the game on the bench in the first place. I guess that we wouldn't be coolers if we weren't cynical in our analysis. There was little time to dwell on the victory before the next game was up, a midweek game away to Real Sociedad in San Sebastian. Because of the changed Copa del Reina format, some Liga games were being played midweek to accommodate Copa games being played on the weekends. Barca started the game strongly, and we looked the sharpest that we've been in some time. The confidence gained in the Atleti win was showing, and it wasn't long before Lika Martins scored in the 7th minute. However, 3 minutes later, Sandro Panos had a little brain fart, sending the ball out to La Real's Nahikari Garcia, who crossed in for Carla Bautista, who was on loan from Atleti, to score 1-1. Damnation! But 2 minutes later, Tony Dugan had put us back in the lead, and in the 18th minute, Lika scored again, before Tony added the 4th in the 39th minute. Lika Martins was forced to leave the pitch with a leg injury before half-time, replaced by Barbara Latorre. Aitana Bonmatí added the 5th Blaugrana goal shortly after half-time, a beautifully placed shot from out wide left. After that, the referee decided that she was Oprah. You get a card, and you get a card, and you get a card. 3 of our back line went into the books, followed by Sandro Panos. In the 59th minute, Nahikari added the 2nd for La Real, and that's how the game ended, a highly entertaining match with 7 goals. Tony Dugan had a great game with 2 goals and 2 assists, and was player of the match. We also saw Dutch defender Stephanie Vandegelaar come on for her first official minutes of the season after being injured in the pre-season game against Manchester City. More on her shortly. Back to Barcelona for the weekend's game, the Copa del Reina derby match against Espanyol. In the 15th minute, Hamraoui took a low shot on goal. Espanyol's keeper Mariojo had the ball covered, but the ball headed towards Alexia, and she stuck out a foot and deflected the ball into the net, past the feet of a diving Mariojo. Tony Dugan added the 2nd goal in the 29th minute, and that's where the score remained. Espanyol didn't offer much threat, and Barca eased off the pedal. Not the most exciting game to watch, but the job was done. Now back to Stephanie. After playing 22 minutes in the game against Real Sociedad, she started the game against Espanyol. In the 26th minute, she injured her left knee and was forced to come off. She was devastated and could be seen crying inconsolably on the bench. After only 48 minutes of official playing time, it looks as if she's going to be out for some time again. The club issued a medical report on her, stating that her return depended on how quickly her knee takes to heal. Also injured in the Espanyol game was right-back Gemma Gili, with a more serious ankle injury requiring surgery. She's expected to be out for at least 3 months. So our injury list has grown again. Stephanie and Gemma injured in the Espanyol match, Lika in the Real Sociedad game, and Mariona, who hasn't played since returning from the international break and the death of her father. Thankfully, there are only 5 games remaining until the 2-week Christmas break, when our players can get some rest and return revitalized for the second half of the season. Visca Barça, e força Barça Femení.
That was Michelle Taylor. Follow her on Twitter at Barça Women for ongoing news and information about the women's team. Now shifting over to the first team, we're going to talk about the Champions League. But just real quick before that, Gabriel, do you remember earlier this year you just couldn't be bothered to record a match review with me, and we got one of our Patreon supporters to sit in for you?
I do remember, but I also remember it wasn't that I couldn't be bothered. I mean, let's get that straight, what? Right?
As I recall, you were just like, I'm going to be vacation. I'll be on holiday at this nice house. I don't feel like recording. I don't want to take my microphone with me.
Well, also, it wasn't like I was a nihilist or something, just laying in the pool, you know, I just didn't want to record, you know, so.
No, what had happened there?
I don't remember. Oh, my God. That was so far. That was so long ago. That was like 9 episodes ago.
It was like 9 episodes ago. It was a little
while ago. That was before I was became a long-term resident of Spain. So, you know, that just seems like a lifetime ago.
Right. That's the big news with you, is that you're officially a long-term resident of Spain. You don't have to leave anytime soon.
I do not have to leave anytime soon. So I just got the news on Thursday. We talked about it on the Patreon episode, and I'm super excited, obviously. So now I don't have to renew every 6 months like I was doing before and having my future in the gray. So I'm very excited about that, Brian.
Yeah, well, I'm very happy for you and excited for you. So that's great. Now, the what we did in that episode, that was episode 91. So it was, yeah, like you said, 9 weeks. What we did was we got one of our Patreon supporters to sit in for you and do the match commentary on a game with me instead of you because you were... You were indisposed. You couldn't do it. So we got one of our Patreon supporters to do it, and we actually got a message from him this week.
Just wanted to say congratulations on 100 episodes. That's awesome. Love listening to your opinions and commentary on the club. Keep up the good work, and visca Barca.
Yeah, that was Zach Jansen. So again, I want to say thanks to Zach for filling in for Gabriel when he couldn't do it, and also thanks for that lovely message. Now, on to the Champions League. This was on Wednesday against PSV Eindhoven at Philips Stadium. We were on the road, and we did win, but it was a 2-1 win.
Yes, Barcelona won 2-1, but again, Brian, as we were talking about in the last couple of weeks, I posed the question to you. Is Valverde's favorite color gray?
Yes, his favorite color and is gray. Yes. His favorite flavor is vanilla.
Champions League, he wants to be super conservative. These are the things that we're learning and we have to accept with Valverde. So, you know, we were always been talking about the last couple of weeks, obviously the formation without Suarez, without Coutinho, how we were going to handle. And of course, in this match, he went ultra conservative. We were able to get the points, but, you know, there was some touch and go spot throughout the game. But what did you think about the lineup?
I thought the lineup was good. I was surprised to see Vidal in the opening, the starting 11, but given our sort of injury bill at the moment, it was understandable. I, much like yourself, I think I sort of wish that Rakitic would have gotten a little bit more of a break. But, you know, he had that one red card suspension match where he got break, and that's he's just going to have to make the best of that.
I know this poor guy can't get a break. You know, he got one game off and he still looked a little stiff out there running around. He didn't look that great in this match in PSV. But, you know, I definitely saw Vidal, you know, getting the start, especially how he has played in the last couple of matches. Again, as we talked about, you know, I thought for sure it was going to be more of a 4-4-2 conservative style, especially away from Barcelona. But he, I mean, on paper, it's a 4-3-3 with Coutinho, Dembele and Messi up there. So, again, this was a strong lineup. I thought for sure maybe we would have seen Umtiti, but, you know, the news from here, Brian, is that it's looking like he has to do some more procedures to avoid surgery. So that could be a long-term thing for throughout the season, unfortunately.
Yeah, and that's a tricky situation he's in, right? Because on one hand, he wants to avoid surgery because that's going to put him out for a long time. On the other hand, in order to avoid surgery, he has to keep missing things. But it's we don't know how long that's going to last. And so it could last as long as it would if he would just get the surgery, potentially,
exactly.
Right?
And yeah, exactly. And this is the other thing is that, you know, this happened to Suarez last season as well, where at the towards the end of the season, he was having knee pain and he was kind of deciding whether or not to have a procedure or not. And by delaying it, he didn't have the greatest performance at the end of the season. And, you know, Umtiti's in the same boat. I heard today that he's back in the Middle East getting some kind of experimental procedures done on his knees. So, you know, obviously they're exploring every option to avoid surgery, but, you know, if he doesn't find any relief, then he's probably going to have to be under the knife for sure.
Yeah. Now, overall, what did you think about how the game was going?
Well, you know, the thing is we've talked about the yin and the yang of Messi, right? So that's really where it kind of all goes with, right? So these players are kind of new playing with Messi, right? Especially in the attacking third. And with Messi in this formation, he is all over the place. So he's kind of a, you know, as we've talked about before with this false nine type of thing, he's kind of like a false midfielder now, right? Like he comes in and he goes left, he goes right, he makes the passes, he shoots, does it all. And so the players around him sometimes don't know how to react. They obviously give him the ball, like Vidal has been giving him the ball. But then as you can see too, that, you know, we don't have a tight formation and there's kind of a disconnect. So I think they're still trying to figure that out, you know, but I think, you know, if they had a better structure of formation, I think that utilize Messi's creativity plus have balanced in all facets of the game, right? Because again, when we went up 2-0, as I told you before, I had complete confidence that we're going to give a goal back. You know, it just had that feeling throughout the match. So, you know, obviously we got the points and that's the most important. But again, I just think there's an easier way to get those points.
Right. Well, speaking of Messi and speaking of goals, here's Messi's first goal.
As Messi scampers through. Messi! Oh, I say Lionel Messi! Sensational goal! Lionel Messi drives Barcelona in front out of almost nothing.
I mean, that goal was great because it reminded me of like a, you know, just a regular ice hockey goal where there's so much traffic in the middle and all of a sudden the puck just kind of comes out of nowhere and hits the net. It's the same thing. Messi was surrounded by four PSV players. He was inside the box and he beat the goalkeeper near post, you know, because the ball just came out of nowhere. So it was a great finish by Messi, of course. And as you can see too, in this match for me, you know, him and Dembele hooking up more and having a better chemistry was key as well. And, you know, Dembele is getting the start, just like he got the start tonight against Villarreal. And if Valverde starts to show more confidence, you know, Dembele is a game changer for sure. And his pace is unreal, you know, and the way he's able to finish with the left and right, he definitely adds that dimension. So it's good to see him and Messi linking up more and more.
Yeah. Now, 9 minutes later, strictly speaking, PK gets the goal. So listen to this.
Here's Messi for Barcelona. And a little touch from Gerard Piqué makes it 2-0. Piqué scores.
Right, so it's a free kick. Messi puts it in, and it just so happens to fall at Piqué's foot, as luck would have it, and he guides it into goal.
Yeah, I know. Messi did the old Mounir trick on Piqué, right?
but Piqué made it look almost like it was more intentional on his part.
At first, I thought it was a set play because the way it was hit. And I think it kind of was a set play, but it's hard to tell. But Piqué was at the right spot. He was unmarked, and he was able to put it through. So again, and he, you know, Piqué in the box is dangerous. He's always looking for that time to, you know, get a good head on it or to, you know, make a play on the ball. And he's always been dangerous in the box. So it was great to see him get on the score sheet there. And obviously, we're up 2-0. So that became more comfortable for us going throughout the match.
Yeah. And then he scored again over the weekend against Villarreal. So Piqué's on a little bit of a scoring streak right now, which is nice. But as you said, even though we were two goals ahead in the 70th minute, so with 20 minutes left, you were extremely confident that PSV would get at least one back, right?
Yeah, and I was confident just because the way we've been, you know, letting off the gas, you know, especially when we get that lead, you know, and we allowed the other team to come in and attack on us, and especially on this goal, right? The goal, I mean, it was a really nice finish by Zhang. Like, he was able to get a good head on it, but for me, it was the service into the box where Semedo should have done a better job of closing in on that. Again, it starts with the midfield, not allowing that type of attacking to come through. But again, we just lower our guard down after we go two up. And I knew, as you know, I just had that feeling. I was like, they're going to get one back and it's going to be uncomfortable for the last 10 minutes. And sure enough, it was.
This one was, I think, the laziest I've seen them after going two goals up, at least this season. It was suddenly like someone just let all the air out of the team, at least until Valverde put another sub in and there was a little more energy injected into the team. But, well, once they got the one goal back, you know, they realized that they needed to actually, you know, put their heads back on. But yeah, it was like as soon as they scored that second goal, they just checked out. Like, they were already making their dinner resies and, you know, making plans with the family or whatever.
The other thing too is like when PK scores, I think he kind of leads that too, right? It's just he scored, so it's all good. And so he doesn't really have to play defense for the last 10 minutes. You know, it's kind of that feeling I get, you know? But again, we just have to close out those matches because there's no reason to go, you know, we should have won that match 2-0.
Yeah.
You know, it should have been like that, you know? And we really, you know, especially in these games that are coming up in February and April and March, they're going to be super important. And we do have to focus on our defense. So it's vital because we can always score goals, but if we can keep a clean sheet, that's always going to keep us in the match for sure.
Yeah. You know, I'm just looking at some tourist information on Eindhoven and some of the best tourist things that you can do in Eindhoven. One of them is a museum of DAF, which is one of Europe's largest truck manufacturers. since the company's founding in 1928. Maybe these players were just trying to, you know, they were looking for things to do and they were really excited about this truck museum. After they scored that second goal, they were already just thinking about all those pictures of trucks they're going to take.
I mean, yes, obviously.
Well, I mean, something happened.
I saw it on their Instagram.
Yeah,
they were going to the DAF Museum. So they couldn't excited. Wait. So they had to give up that goal and they had to go.
Or they wanted to go to St. Catherine's Church, perhaps. Anyway, that's those are just a few of the wonderful things you can do in Eindhoven, the southernmost town in the largest city in southern Netherlands. But to conclude, we did win, right? So everything's fine. Not only did we win, but we clinched Group B with one match remaining against Tottenham in the Camp Nou on Tuesday next week. So who should Valverde start? Who should he start? And who do you think he's going to start against Tottenham? Because we could easily lose this game and be totally fine in every respect.
I think that he's going to roll out the same team he did against Villarreal. I think that's what our team's going to look like. Now, do I agree with it? No. I think for this match, he should just put the B squad, complete B squad, and let them get some experience, take the night off, use that time. Because like you said, there's no gain. We clinch the group. It's all good. Especially like, for example, Cillessen, let him get the start. Just let Ter Stegen have a night off.
Well, as it turns out, I heard today that Cillessen is injured. I don't know how.
Oh, gosh,
what happened, but so Ter Stegen is going to have to be between the sticks.
Put Messi in goal.
Yeah, why not?
No, but like we, you know, as when I saw the squad list for tonight's game against Villarreal, just put all those squad players and have them start, get some minutes, get some playing time, especially at home against a really good quality team against Tottenham, because Tottenham is going to be fighting for the win. So it'll be a really good chance to see if these youngsters can handle the moment, handle this game, and especially going against a really quality team at home.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Alenia, Malcolm for sure, Denis mm-hmm. Suarez.
Munir.
Yeah, put Munir in. Can't do Cillessen, but we can do Ter Stegen. Juan Miranda, let him come up. Give Jordi Alba a break.
Yeah,
looks like Jordi Alba could really use one at this point.
Exactly, especially he got a knock tonight. I mean, is Vermaelen available? Maybe put him or his brother. I don't care.
Yeah, like. I haven't checked where Vermaelen's at with his injury, because he had an injury at one point.
Yeah,
so I'm
yeah.
not sure where he's
put his
at.
Put his brother in, Todd. You know?
Todd Vermaelen.
You know, Todd Vermaelen maybe has stronger hamstrings than Thomas. So, you know, I want to see the B squad. Obviously, I think Valverde, because he loves playing this not bench team, he's probably going to use the team that he used against Villarreal for sure.
Yeah. Now, one final thought on this conservatism. Is what looks like conservatism to us also something that can – I mean, the players are still racking up the minutes, but it seems as though they aren't necessarily running as much. They aren't necessarily working as hard. Is this a way – to give some of these players longevity into the harder parts of the season towards, you know, March, April, May, towards the end?
That's a good question. But I think, for example, when I think of the conservatism, it's more about not having enough players going forward, right? And when I used to play, it's always easier to play on offense to play on defense, right? So if you're always kind of going forward, you're containing that possession, it keeps your stamina low, right? So like you're able to handle the ball, pass the ball, move. It's much easier than to defend. And like you say, maybe to chase the ball, right? To chase the ball and try to win it back. I don't know. For me, I just think we have too much talent to watch this type of boring football. You know, I just think that we're leaving a lot on the pitch, I think, because of the formation. And ultimately, if we're not going to be strong defensively, because, you know, quote unquote, if you're going to be conservative, you're not going to be allowing a lot of goals. And our defense has not been good this year. So, you know, just win 4-2, you know, I mean, don't fight it. You know, I mean, I feel like we score enough goals. Just let Messi run. Let's have more people with him and just try to have more opportunities than the other team.
When we return, we'll get into La Liga and Barcelona's victory over Villarreal. All right, we're back. It's Barca Talk, episode 100. And before we get into the Villarreal match from La Liga, I just want to do a brief La Liga thing, which is to say that I read the other day, Gabriel, that Isco has only played 10 minutes under Solari.
Yeah, it's huge news here, actually.
I mean, that seems so crazy to me. Isco is clearly such a threatening player and good.
He is. Remember, as we talked, when we always talk about Real Madrid, Isco, right? We always said he was one of the scariest players that we thought that they had, right? Like, he's kind of their Iniesta, the way he was able to manage, direct the passing that he's able to do. It's been huge news here, Brian, like on the sports show, on my favorite sports soap opera show. They love doing body language, lip reading and all that stuff. So the last 2 weeks they've been doing the change, like the interchange between Isco and Solari. And Solari has been kind of hinting that it's physical because, you know, Isco had, I think he had like an appendix surgery and he hasn't been able to come back down from weight from that because he kind of gained some weight from that. And so Solari has hinted towards that. But also it could be that he just hasn't had that much time. And so it's kind of, you know, what came first, the chicken or the egg, right? If you gave him time, maybe he gets back into form.
Right.
You know, it's one of those things, you know, and the other rumor now is that he wants to come to Barcelona.
That would be insane, right?
It would be because originally when he was in Malaga, he was supposed to come to Barcelona.
Oh.
And Real Madrid outbid Barcelona for him because he's always been a fan of Barcelona his whole life. He had to take down pictures from his Instagram when he went to Real Madrid of him supporting Barcelona.
Yeah, so, that's like one of the first things you have to do when Real Madrid
exactly
signs you.
So this has added fuel to the rumor file, you know, obviously with the Neymar issue as well. I mean, I would gladly accept him because he would be, oh my god, he would be super dynamic in our midfield. He is so good. He's a perfect type of midfielder that I would expect to be in a 4-3-3-4 Barca style for sure.
Yeah, and it's been a while since a player has crossed over from Real Madrid to Barcelona or vice versa. And it mostly just becomes difficult for them when you go back to the previous club's home ground.
Yeah.
I've heard stories about Figo, right? When he
that's the most famous one.
Yeah, because he would get heckled.
I think
like
he was
crazy.
He was the last player, I think that.
And that was a while ago.
Yeah, because, you know, usually now, you know, at that time, Barca didn't have a defined tiki-taka style. I mean, they did, but it wasn't as defined as now, right? Mm-hmm. And so you wouldn't sign the same type of player for Real Madrid as Barcelona because they just have two different styles. And obviously what Real Madrid's looking for in their players, they're looking for the more typical Ronaldo type, like physical specimen type of footballer. So I don't think you're going to see that anytime soon, but Isco would be definitely someone that could really, wow, if he came to Barca, whoo.
Yeah, I think you would light it up here.
Oh my God. And had success. I mean, that's the other thing, you know?
Yeah, I'd be down for it.
Dreaming's free.
Dreaming is free. So that's part of what we do here is we dream and we dream big. Yeah. All right, so let's talk about this match. This was, of course, in La Liga at the Camp Nou. We won 2-0 over Villarreal, and we had almost, or was it? It was the exact same lineup as midweek against PSV. So Ter Stegen in goal, obviously, Semedo, Piqué, Longley, Alba, Busquets, Rakitic, and Vidal in the midfield, and then Coutinho, Messi, Dembele.
So I think, you know, in this match, you know, obviously when they're playing more games together, they're obviously going to click better. And in this match, I thought that they didn't have to really go to the highest level to get the win, but they definitely looked more comfortable in the passing and attacking. I mean, we had a lot of opportunities, but it looked very easy for us, which is good because I like that. And also, I think the connection between Dembele and Messi just looked even better. I mean, Dembele looked really good tonight, even though he did lose the ball couple of times, but these are the things that you have to accept, right? He's going to take chances to beat players. I remember there was one play where he was dancing left and right, doing a samba back and forth and then back to the touchline and had a cross. I mean, those are the things that are electric. And yes, he is going to give up possession, but he's going to make those moves. And one of those are always going to get in, you know, and maybe they'll cost, you know, maybe they'll get us a goal. So I think, you know, as we talked about on Thursday, when we were talking about the Jordi Alba coming through the middle and all these different ideas, I think tonight was a better connection between Coutinho, Dembele, and Messi and the midfield for sure. And maybe that has to do with Villarreal not pressing as high or not being as good at pressing.
Yeah, perhaps. But just to go back, I do think that Dembele was probably, I think he really played his best game. His best Barcelona game since signing was this Sunday. I thought he was looking the best. And yeah, like that one time where he went back and forth 3-4 times, finally made it to the end line to get the cross in. It didn't result in anything, but the fact that he's willing to do that is great. And if you consider how much he was on the ball, because he was on the ball a lot in this game, and how many times he gave up possession, I think he's getting better at maintaining possession, because there were games, I don't know, a few weeks back, where he didn't see nearly as much of the ball and he was giving it up a lot more per possession. So I think he's getting better at holding on to the ball, maintaining it, but also like picking a pass and just moving it back. On the other hand, you give him the ball out there and he's going to try and do something. But as far as chemistry goes, I was also very impressed with how he and Semedo were working together in this match. In the first 10-15 minutes of the first half, they had a couple of really good exchanges and good overlaps from Semedo where they were making things happen out on the right side.
That's a great point, because we mentioned that on Thursday's bonus episode, that we saw that they were trying to get a better connection, and you can see it starting to come a little bit more and more. And in this match, you're starting to see they're starting to get more comfortable, and that just comes with playing time, but that comes more with Dembele starting, not Semedo, right? Because Dembele is the one that's been missing in and out for the last year or so. So for sure. And if that can click on that right side, that's going to be huge for us, because then all of a sudden that opens, as we always talk about, the balance on the right and the left, that just allows Messi more space. Once Suarez comes back, that's going to create more havoc, and we're just going to have more passing lanes and more opportunities to score for sure.
Yeah, and as long as we have Jordi Alba healthy, then we've got people out on the left to stretch the defense out there. So we've got people out on the left and the right stretching the defense out, and then you got all the space in the world for Messi.
Yeah, of course. And that's the thing, right? We need Messi to have a little bit more space to make those great passes like he did tonight. And, you know, if that connection continues to blossom, my gosh, that speed and physicality that could be, you know, for the next 5 years would be insane.
Yeah, especially because the both of them are fast. It's not exactly just Dembele. Semedo's got some speed too.
Exactly. And that's the thing. And you know, you're focused, you know, if you go into a match against Barcelona, you're always going to be focused on Messi. And then all of a sudden now you're Coutinho. Then you got to worry about Suarez. And then all of a sudden you got to work up that connection between Semedo and Dembele. And then Alba bombing on the left. You're, as a defender, you don't know what to pick, right? You have to try to maybe have five back there if that starts to happen.
Right. Ooh, that'd be exciting. Well, or maybe not. It could make everything way more boring. So we broke through pretty early on in the first half. 36th minute, Piqué gets the first goal with this incredible assist from Dembele.
Busquets knocks it back for Dembele. Left foots it, back post, header! Piqué slams it home! Magnificent service from the man of the match so far, Ousmane Dembele!
Yeah, again, so this was a great pass from Dembele to find Piqué, and obviously Piqué being in the box, you know, for the corner kick, and being there at the right place at the right time. Again, he has another goal, two goals this week so far. Waka waka. And
Well, I mean, Piqué's finish on that was, you know, classic center back headed goal, and, you know, headed to ground and then into goal kind of finish. But Dembele's assist, the ball in from Dembele, I thought was poetry.
What I never understand from professionals is when they make crosses, right? Because all they have to do a lot of the times is just look up to make the cross and find the player. Dembele did this on this play, and look, he was able to have success and connect with Piqué. But a lot of players, they'll just put their head down and just throw it in there. It makes a big difference when you can actually pick someone out. And obviously Dembele has the talent to find him, and he did, and we were able to go up 1-0.
Yeah, this is fantastic. And then, you know, we reached kind of a stalemate for a lot of the time. I mean, I don't know. Villarreal had their chances. I mean, for me, the most threatening moment from Villarreal came in the 42nd minute. Villarreal had a number of chances all at the same time. I think it was two or three different shots in the same moment in the 42nd minute. That was the most scared I was the whole game.
Fornals.
Nicely.
Into the 18.
Magic.
Gaspar wide. Oh, left-footed shot. Loose. Gaspar tries, and it's blocked off long lay.
Trigueros again.
If we were playing this match at Villarreal, I bet you they'd score one of those goals.
Yeah.
It's like one of those feelings, right? And since we were at home, I wasn't really scared that much. I feel like they were good enough to arrive into the box, but once they got into there, either their first touch was awful or they just picked the wrong decision. So, you know, our defense held, so that's another good thing. We got a shutout finally for the first time since 2001. And you know, we were able to you know, tighten up there. But like you said, there was a bit of a stalemate, but it's, again, it's one of these matches where we went up 1-0. We were able to cruise control to the victory. Not really get any major injuries. We'll see what happened with Jordi Alba. But again, you know, it's the end of November, early December. You know, you got to just cruise to that match.
Right. Ray Hudson had the best term for it, actually. He called it snooze control. And he's totally right. Because, there's definitely some autopilot going on. But it also looks even more lethargic than just autopilot. It's snooze control.
I mean, that's the thing, right? Because we play so many matches. There's going to be matches like this where luckily we were able to get the 1-0 before halftime, you know, to kind of safeguard that, maybe get some good tactic buildup at halftime speech from Mr. Gray himself, Valverde. And then from there, just like you said, snooze control, try to avoid injuries and just get the 3 points that we desperately needed.
Yeah, and we did come out really – we came out swinging in the early parts of the second half. We created a lot of chances, or at least took a lot of chances, didn't score again in those opening minutes. But at least we came out and let Villarreal – like, we're not actually asleep. We were towards the end of the first half, but we're not now. We woke up. But then, oh man, the 87th minute, we get the second goal from Carlos Alenia with an assist from Messi. And this was Alenia's first La Liga goal and only his second for the first team. He hasn't scored for the first team since a 2016 appearance against Hercules in the Copa del Rey. So this, I mean, as far as actual competitive, like high stakes matches, this was his first real goal for the first team. So super excited. And that, like, his run was so well timed and Messi's pass was so perfect. I loved that whole play.
Rakitic has gone wide right. Messi finds the run of Alenia, lifts it up and over. Asenjo can't stop it. And Barcelona starts the party.
When I saw Alenia scored, I knew one person that was going to be happy, and that was you. I had like the gut instinct. I was like, oh yeah, Alenia scored. And I was like, Brian's going to be happy.
I was like, of course I'm happy.
I had that feeling. He's like your new Sergio Roberto.
No. So that's, you know what's funny you say that though, because Megan was sitting with me watching the game and she's like, how do we feel about Alenia? Like, she wants to know, like, what's the party line on Alenia? I'm like, oh, we love him. We love Carlos Alenia because he's a La Masia kid. Right. And she's like, oh, isn't Sergi going to be jealous? I'm like, no, never. Sergi's always my second love after Chabi.
That's hilarious, because that's exactly how I was thinking. I was going to ask you the same question, Brian. <so. laughs> No, but honestly, like, that was such a great run. It was instinctual. Of course, Messi knew exactly what he was going to do beforehand. Great pass. And, you know, when I was watching the match, I just said to myself, man, the chip goal.
Yes.
Which I
see. And when I saw that finish, I thought Gabriel liked that, because I know how much you like those Cuchara goals.
Oh my God. That is pure balls, right? Because he has a chance to score his first La Liga goal for Barcelona. And instead of, like, for example, I would have tried to gone around the goalie because I think that would have been a safer bet. But no, he's just chip it. I'm good. And it went in. It was a great goal. So again, it was the perfect time too, because it was towards the end of the match. What minute was it in?
Let me get my notes up here. It was in the 87th minute.
Yeah, so perfect. It was in the 87th minute. Game set, Guillermo. We got the 3 points. And now we are league leaders, baby.
Yeah, well, we are we? Because
yes, we are.
Last I checked, what happened with...
1-1 tie, baby. Sevilla, Alaves.
Okay, so we are recording late enough in the day that we actually have the result on that. So Sevilla and Alaves tied. So yeah, we're leading the league, but only by 2 points now? 1 point?
1 point.
Hey, a point's a point.
Correct.
First place is first place.
Remember, it's this marathon. You gotta be able to win out these matches. And Sevilla was able to get the 1-1 tie against Alaves, which helps us. You know, like I said, this game was important, Brian, because we needed to get these 3 points. And also, which I like, we got the shutout. And, you know, like you said, it was a snooze fest, but hey man, it's the results that I'm happy about this the most.
Yes, but I'll say this at least. I think Dembele had a great performance. I really liked watching the chemistry between him and Semedo develop. I thought that was great. And I thought that Alenia has, I mean, he's had his debut, obviously, his official debut, but I felt like this was his coming out party. You know, like, I feel like Alenia really asserted himself as a real first team player, like a viable first team player with that goal today. Because you know what that goal was?
Hashtag Primo Football.
That's
baby.
Right. That's what it was. It was Primo Football. And
it was Primo.
And you can't say that this game had a whole lot of Primo Football in it.
It didn't, but it had glimpses.
Yes.
And that's what it really matters, right? So, you know, you have a point there. Alenia is starting to assert himself. Valverde is starting to show more faith in him, which is great because he is the future for the midfield. And if he starts to have success like he has, and they've been really doing a good job of bringing him along, right? Because last season he had the majority, all of, you know, most of his minutes were with Barca B, with a couple Copa del Rey playing matches here or not. But now he's starting to get in La Liga, and especially with our injury problems, it's giving him opportunities, and he has not disappointed.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
All right, well, I think we did a good 100th episode.
I think so too. I'm looking forward to the upcoming week because we have Champions League, we got another La Liga, and we're just, you know, as we said, Brian, or as I said, you know, break down La Liga into four phases, right? So we're closing in on the second phase, I would say, right before Christmas. And then the third phase is going to be the most important. So I'm glad that we don't have games during Christmas like EPL, because Rakitic would have died probably.
Yeah.
But so we're closing in. We just got to continue to get these points to, you know, I would say the main goal right now is to be first place at the winter break.
Special thanks to Michelle Taylor this week and to all the listeners and supporters of the show. We could not have made it to episode 100 without you. This has been a production of Barca Talk, written by Gabriel Quiroga and Brian Henderson, music and editing by Brian Henderson, social media and promotion by Gabriel Quiroga. We rely on support from you, the listeners, to keep this show going. So go to patreon.com/BarcaTalkPod to support the show. Visca Barca.